So a while ago, I read about a teacher, and she was teaching some young students, let's say first, second grade, and it was around Thanksgiving time. So she asked them to draw a picture of what they were thankful for. Well, you can imagine all the little kids scribbling this and that. So she gathered all the papers and began showing them to the class, you know, looking at them, and they talked about them a little bit. And all of a sudden, she came to a picture of a hand. And, you know, they were talking about it. One of the students said, well, is that the hand of God? She goes, I'm not sure. You know, they had to talk to the student that did it. And somebody else said, well, it might be the hand of the farmer who raised the turkey. Well, finally, she asked the little boy that drew it. And she said to the teacher, he said to the teacher, it's your hand. And it just hit her because she thought about all the times, you know, as a little boy, that she had reached her hand out to him to lead him, you know, down the hall, out in the playground, ground out to the bathroom, or wherever it might have been, that meant so much to him. And at times, we don't realize the impact that we have on others, do we? Just that little hand going in yours, and you don't think about what it means to the other individual. So it's quite easy to forget, to take that simple step of telling someone that we are thankful. And this little boy did it in the form of a picture. So one of the gifts that God has given us is the ability to choose. You think about the choices we make on a daily basis. You know, when we're younger, our parents make a lot of choices for us. But as we leave home, we decide where to go to college, what courses to take, eventually who to marry, the hobbies we'll carry on with, or the home we purchase, the car we drive, all these things, even to the point of what we believe in. We choose what we're going to follow through on that. And do we consider how blessed we are to have that freedom? The freedom to choose. Turn with me back to Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. And if we add up our choices that we make each day, the number would be very high. If you just take one small category, the food we eat, and you think about, well, we decide when we're going to eat, what we're going to eat, where we're going to eat, and then once we even do that, we decide how much to put on our plate, the order of what to eat it in. If we're going to leave some or go back for seconds. And so our choices are just numerous, one after another. Well, let's notice the comment here before we get into our topic here today in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. It says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. So God allowed the curses to come on ancient Israel because of their choices, their poor choices. And we have the opportunity to choose today. We know that Israel broke their covenant, in other words, their agreement with God. You know, they said, everything you tell us, we will do. But they didn't. And eventually they went into captivity because of the poor choices that they made. So a covenant is about obeying the laws of God. And we make our agreement today with God through baptism, through the repentance of sins. And we decide to commit to God, to grow in his ways, and to obey his laws. Let's look down at, earlier in the chapter for 30, let's look at verse 8. 30, verse 8. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. So notice all these multitude of blessings here that God is willing to do for us. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for the good, for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. Notice the if here. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So we have a choice in what we do. You know, there's those small choices, what we're going to eat and what time we're going to bed. But there's many more choices that we make in life. We have a choice in what we believe, the way we treat others, whether we're going to change. You know, we don't have to change. God invites us to do that and make those good choices, but we don't always come around to that as quickly as we should. So choice affects every area of our life. And I'd like to cover one aspect of our lives that God asked us to grow in. So my title today is Expressing Our Gratitude. Expressing Our Gratitude. We determine how grateful we are and whether to share our thankfulness with others. That's a choice that we all make on a daily basis. And as Christians, our future is being determined by the choices we make. Every single day, you know, we make those decisions, and our choices are cumulative. You know, they keep adding up. I think we understand that principle. You know, for those of us who would like to lose a little weight, and yet every day we eat a little more than we should, and we don't exercise as much as we should. And so an eighth of a pound gets added here, quarter pound there, a tenth of a pound there. And over time, if we're always adding weight, we look down and we go, wow, my clothes don't fit as well as they used to. And so that's the cumulative effect. It all adds up. And that's what God is saying about our choices. You keep making these choices and they will add up. And so our daily decisions regulate the character that we're building, whether good character or whether poor character. So I would like to offer 3 points on thankfulness that we can think about and consider as we go forward in life. My first point is, what is God's view of being thankful? Because we have to consider the one who created us. We know he has a future in store for us, and we want to know what he thinks on this. Now, this coming Thursday, our nation will celebrate the national holiday of Thanksgiving. And many people overlook the importance of that day. You know, they want the joy of getting together with family and the food and the fun and all that. I've even heard people call it Turkey Day. But they don't always stop to think about the importance of giving thanks and to consider that, yes, it's a time to reflect on our abundance and all the blessings, but we should do that all year round, not just during that day or throughout that week. And yet we live in a country that is very blessed, and some people have their focus elsewhere, that they don't come to the realization that these blessings come from God, the giver of life. So let's notice one of God's commandments for Christians that we should develop in. Turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. As we see today, the Bible reveals that it's important to consider all the blessings that have been poured out upon us. And they are numerous, both including physical blessings and spiritual. Let's notice what Paul writes here, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. He says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." So no matter what era we live in, God is saying to us, you need to be prepared. Whether it was back at the time of Paul, as he wrote to the Christians then, or today, that we need to consider, are we ready for what is coming? We know that we're living in the last days, and the following verses discuss whether we're living in the darkness or we're walking in the light, or whether we're asleep or awake. You know, the one versus the other. God is saying, you know, they have these two different paths. Which one are you on? And we have to consider that. Verse 9, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we think about these things then, he goes on to mention that we should be working on. So let's look at a few of these. There's quite a list here, but we'll just read a few, going to verse 14. And he says, "Now we exhort you, brethren." So this should, you know, pick up our ears. Like, he's speaking to us, the brethren, and he said, "Warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." So truly notable things that we know we should be doing day by day. Dropping down to verse 16, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So all of these directives are very important. And yet today I would like to focus on verse 18. It's easy to overlook these 4 simple words. In everything, give thanks. And we have to look at our lives to see whether we have done that or whether we are doing, will continue to do that. And yet we know this is God's desire for his children. It's an area that each of us should be growing in. And yet we're asked to even go a step further here beyond the feeling of gratitude. God desires for us to have that feeling, that emotion of like being so grateful for the things in life. And yet here we're required to express that thankfulness. So he's saying you need to go beyond just that feeling. So imagine if a child felt unloved, maybe your child, and they didn't tell you, and you never knew that just a few kind words to them would comfort them and get rid of that. And even though you did love them, you wouldn't know if they didn't express it. This is what God is asking us to do. What's in here, share with others. Let them know how you feel. Communicate it. I'd like to offer one definition of thanksgiving. And this is telling in what we're talking about here. It says, thanksgiving is the act of expressing gratitude for favors or mercies. So this is beyond having gratitude. This is expressing it once again. Another step. Another definition is thanksgiving is the acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness, especially to acknowledge the goodness of God. So it's no wonder that God doesn't invite us as children to come before him and to acknowledge all that he's done, that goodness, that graciousness. Now, most people share how grateful they are for their home, their food, sometimes their vehicles, their children, etc., even for our country. But verse 18 reminds us that we are to do it in all areas. In everything, give thanks. So this outcome should be a way of life. We need to implement it into our daily lives. And notice here it has a double emphasis. As we read the Word of God, we think about, well, this is his God. This is God's will. These are his words. But here it even says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. So it adds that on top of already knowing it's his will. So we should pay attention to this. And as we think about the various areas to express our thanks, first and foremost to God, the one who gave us life, the one who allows us to see and walk and learn, to have the opportunity to develop relationships and be with family, the one who protects us, the one who provides us, gives us laws, and heals us. Of course, there's the other areas of all the other individuals, those individuals that we come across in family or neighbors or community, that they serve us in some way, or they set a great example. They're a light to the community. And we, as we think about that, we have to express the thanks to them as well. And as Christians, our words and actions must reveal a grateful heart. This is what God is encouraging each of us to do. Let's stay in 1 Thessalonians. Go back to the first chapter. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. I should say 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2. You ever have that where you say one thing and you think something else? It happens all the time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, which says, we give thanks. Then it goes on to say, to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. And so, brethren, we need to thank our Father and Jesus Christ more than we do. And no matter how much you do, I think we all could, you know, increase to a higher level. And then Paul thanks the brethren, or even thanks God, I should say, for the brethren. In other words, those that have been called by God, those that have been, that are in the body and he fellowships with, he's thanking God for them. Verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing. So he's talking about the brethren here. As he writes to them, he's expressing his thanks. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. So Paul encourages them by writing them. In other words, he expresses it through that. Just as that little boy drew out something, he wrote, you know, his feeling, we can do that in writing to someone. And he was openly sharing his gratefulness for their growth, for their example, the things that they did that stood out. So if we claim to understand the plan of God, and you think about what that includes, I mean, his power, his majesty, his excellence in so many ways, if we understand that, then we should recognize how much we have to be thankful for. Yet God is asking us to go beyond the emotion of being thankful, which verse 2 said, to give thanks. Can't just hold it in here. We have to give it. We have to share it. The word thank has several different meanings. One of them is to acknowledge. Another, to recognize. Means to show appreciation or to be grateful. You can see that there's things to do here. You know, you can't just say, well, I'm going to thank, but then just feel that doesn't work to hold it in here. That isn't a way to thank. That might be thankfulness. And so the Greek word for give thanks is directing us to express or to share our gratitude with others. And we're encouraged to do that throughout the scriptures. So the Bible is telling us that we need to speak up, that we need to share what we feel. Just as that young student drew that hand, that was his way of doing that. And we know it can be difficult for some to share what they feel. It can be awkward, but we should, in a sense, share all of our feelings, is what God is asking us to do. Let's turn next to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. I know we all go through trials at times, and yet no matter what we are going through, we have a lot to be thankful for. If we made a list, I think we would be surprised at the amount of items there that are listed under thanking God or thanking others, and just all that we could appreciate. A few more words here of Paul in Ephesians 5. We'll begin in verse 15. And he reminds us by saying, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And if you think about that, that ties in with what Paul wrote earlier. You know, this is the will of God. And he's telling us again what that is. And so Paul adds the emphasis by sharing this is God's will for His children, for all of us, and eventually all people on earth. So let's notice one of the items mentioned in this book. Let's drop down to verse 20, which tells us giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So consider that Paul was in prison as he wrote this. We covered that in the Bible study. This is a prison epistle. And that he's recognize the importance of giving the credit to God. I mean, here he's in a terrible condition, so to speak. I mean, who wants to be in prison? Especially falsely charged. And so we can express our appreciation for the numerous blessings, but here it says always. In other words, never stop doing that. It should be a way of life, every day, continuously. And then it says for all things. And so most likely there are blessings. If we're offering a prayer to God or thanking someone, there's areas that we have never even touched on that we could go through and name a different one every day, and we would never, for the rest of our life, probably not name them all. And if you think about it, when we were kids, it was easy to focus more on the negative, let's say, of our parents than on the positive. For instance, if they told you, no, you can't go stay at your friend's house, but, oh, it crushed our world, right? Or you can't stay up this late, or no, you can't have any more sweets. We focused on that, but we forgot that our parents provided for us, clothes, home, shelter, etc., that they protected us. And even went beyond that, that when we got sick in the middle of the night, they were there up with us, helping us. And so we can have that same attitude at times as a child of God, that where we don't see the whole picture, like, oh, God, you're being rough on me, and you're not allowing me to do what I want. Like, God, why won't you heal me of my sickness? I've asked you, why aren't you doing that? Or why don't you provide a mate for me? You know, if you're single and you would like to get married, we'd say, God, I've asked. And so we can look at that just like a little kid would say, well, why can't I stay up late? Why can't you provide a better job for me? So all these things that come to mind. But yet, brethren, we can overlook many blessings. Take for one, for instance, our memory. You know, we don't always stop to think about our memory until we start losing our memory. And that's a little late to be thankful for. You know, like you're losing it. And God wants us to not take these items for granted. I know my eyesight from an early boy, I appreciate it because my eyes went bad in first grade. I remember not being able to read the chalkboard. And so I've always thought about that. But if they hadn't, I don't think I would have focused on it at all. It's like, I don't even have to think about that. But I should thank God for the eyesight I do have. Or when we begin to lose our hearing, then we think, oh, how wonderful that was to have it the way it used to be. For our balance. You know, as we get older or different circumstances in life, sometimes our equilibrium gets off. And it's hard to consider. Or even another thing that we all take for granted, our elimination system. When that doesn't work properly, we go, uh-oh, that messes up your whole life. When things don't work as we would hope or as they used to. And so our prayers should not be repetitious. But here it says, pray for all things. And there's so many things that we could mention that I don't think God would intend it to be repetition. I don't have to thank God for my sight and that I still have it for every day. I could change that up to other things that come to mind. And it's good to think about them so that we can mention those things in prayer. If you consider how important it is just to swallow and that we can thank God for that small item. It's really not small because if you were unable to do it, all of a sudden you'd realize this is going to affect every part of my day. Or the ability to touch and have that feeling like, oh, that's smooth or that's cold, that's hot. That is a blessing from God that we aren't always grateful for. And so God's view is clear. To feel thankful is good. But we're also commanded to share our thankfulness, to express it. And the phrase give thanks is mentioned 44 times throughout the Bible. Just that term, give thanks. You know, it means take action here. Don't just feel it, do something about it. And as we follow that command, we are learning more about God's way of love. He's teaching us as his children how to view things properly. So giving thanks is about expressing our appreciation both to God and to mankind. Let's look at a second point, which is biblical examples of gratitude. You know, Paul reminds us of the decline of humanity just prior to Christ's return. He does that in 2 Timothy 3, just as he did back in 1 Thessalonians. So back then, it was a warning. He knew it was coming. We know it's coming. And even warns that there will be times that will be perilous in the days ahead. That means difficult times. That means terrible times, dangerous times. And those days are drawing closer. I think we can all feel that as we watch events in the world, on the news. And one of the sins mentioned during those times is being unthankful. That is something that God says that's abominable to him. He doesn't want to see that as any part of our life. So therefore, it's not a small matter to him. Turn with me back to the Old Testament. We'll look at Daniel chapter 2. Daniel 2 and verse 19. And so here we see an example. And of course, we have many poor examples in the Bible of individuals not showing gratitude. But here Daniel did set a good example for us. And at this point in his life, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He wanted it interpreted. And because they wouldn't tell him the dream and the interpretation, you know, he started saying, he put out the command to destroy the wise men. In other words, if you can't tell me what the dream is, then I know I can't believe you, what you're going to interpret it as. So, of course, God blessed Daniel, and the dream was revealed, but that is because Daniel asked for it. So Daniel 2, verse 19, breaking into the story here, it says, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. And as we go down through this, it's just our minds should take in the beauty of all that God does and how he's working everything out and the power he has. It says he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Verse 23, Daniel now says, I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. for you have made known to us the king's demand. So being thankful teaches us to look at life in a positive way. That's what Daniel was doing with God, coming to him and thanking him. He asked him to reveal the dream, and then God did, and so he thanked him. And even if he hadn't revealed it, Daniel or we could go to God and thank him, you know, knowing that maybe God is saying, wait a little bit longer, or no, that's not going to happen that way. But we can still always thank God. And so the positive aspect here is that that's what Paul says in his other books. He says, you know, think on good things. And this is what we should do as we go before God and others to give them the appreciation, to express that in a proper way. Now, we should do that also for minor items, because we're not to take anything for granted. Even the things we consider, that's just small. That's no big deal. But what about when our prayers don't get answers? You know, Daniel came across that situation under King Darius. Or I should say Darius. I always go back and forth on that one. I go, which way do I say it? So I looked it up, and I have it spelled here, and it's still hard because it's all in kind of a Latin way. But I have to see the emphasis on Darius. So I'll probably hop back and forth on that. But let's go to chapter 6 and verse 7. It's hard to train our brains, isn't it? I've noticed for the last couple of years I say it both ways, and so now I don't know hardly which way is right. But notice here what Daniel, his experience in Daniel 6 and verse 7. And here he had to deal with a royal decree which limited all the citizens of the land to only pray to the king, no one else. And you basically are aware of that story. So let's pick it up in verse 7. Daniel 6 and verse 7, where it says, all the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. So what would we do in this situation? You know, these are some pretty tough trials that come on them, and one day we may have to go through similar things. You think about it, it would be very hard to openly pray knowing that petition, that decree was out there, that you're going to be thrown into these vicious animals that'll tear you up and eat you. Because he knew the outcome. I mean, what lion that's hungry wouldn't eat somebody, you know? And so he had that probably going through his mind. Well, let's drop down to verse 9, where it says, therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, so in other words, it's like you are going to be thrown to the lions. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. And then verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. So that's just what they were looking for. They're trying to pin something on him because his life was pretty exemplary. And they found this because they knew it would be regarding keeping the laws of God. So God, or I should say Daniel, didn't know what God would answer, but he still offered thanks. And that's because it was in his heart. He was willing to do that, to follow through. And so this prayer put his life in danger. And yet he went ahead with it. And yet God didn't stop Daniel from being thrown to the lions, but instead, God had another plan. He said, I can close the mouths of the lions. And so besides thanking God, there was another important factor that Daniel displayed. Let's go down to verse 22. Chapter 6 here in Daniel. We'll read verse 22, where it says, my God sent his angel. So this is Daniel replying to the king who was wondering if he was still alive. And he says, my God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him. Now notice why. Because he believed in his God. How important is that? That's what God is asking all of us as children to grow in, because faith is necessary in our walk in life. We're told in Hebrews 11 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we see that in action here. And Daniel set a tremendous example for the king and for others. All those around him that touched his life, they could say, look at what this man did. He was willing to follow through on what he believed, kneeling in prayer, be thrown to the lions, and then, you know, come out and set this example. So the king thinks about it in this way. And so notice another decree is written here. Let's look at verse 26 and look at the change of the king's demeanor, in a sense, by what Daniel had done in his example. Verse 26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. Can you imagine a Gentile king stating this? I mean, this would be great if every leader on earth would have this attitude, and one day they will. That time is coming, but we can get a little taste of it here. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. And his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. So he saw that with Daniel. He goes, wow, that's why he called him Daniel's God. But he didn't stop to reflect that he's everybody's God. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So these examples, through these, God is showing us the importance of acknowledging him for all that he has done. And each one of us can look at our lives and evaluate it and see that, wow, God has done so much just in calling me and working with me, the patience he's had with us. We should thank our Father for the religious freedom we have. You know, why should we wait for it to disappear and then go to God and say, oh, I didn't realize how blessed I was? So we need to thank God in these things. Now let's look at another biblical figure. That's just a little bit on Daniel. And another person that was willing to recognize the goodness of God. Let's turn to Psalm 9. Psalm chapter 9 and verse 1. Brethren, we can feel thankful towards someone, but how are they going to know if we don't open up and share it with them? It's difficult to do, once again, but this is what God is asking us to do. Now, here in Psalm 9 and verse 1, the caption is, this is a psalm of David. So here's another individual who gave thanks. And it says, you know, in leading up to the first verse, it says, to the tune of the death of the son. And so I think about David losing his precious child. And to consider that he goes, you know what, that was my fault that I lost my son. It was my sin that caused his death. And yet it was God's choice to take his son. And yet David was willing to choose to thank God continually. So even with God's choices, which we go, God, you could have left my son alive, but God, you know, is trying to teach us, like, are we still thankful, even though he makes some choices we're not always in line with? Psalm 9, verse 1, it says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart, and I will tell of all your marvelous works. So I wanted to mention here that the word praise is the Hebrew word yada, and that word can be translated as thanksgiving and to revere or worship, in a sense, with extended hands. So that word praise, I normally wouldn't think of it that way, but when we praise God, that's one of the ways we do it. We thank God and we revere or worship him. Verse 2, he goes on to say, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So David set a tremendous example with the various trials that he had in his life. You know, think about the battles that he went through. His own family, you know, attacking him in different ways. Several in his family betrayed him. Others plotted his murder. He experienced, once again, the loss of a child. And yet he still recognized the importance of going to God and worshiping him through praise, which is a type of thanksgiving, and through just giving that thanks to God directly. And we need to look at that lesson and learn from it. Let's stay in the Psalms here a little bit and go to Psalm 107. And as we read the Psalms throughout the year, we read and see that there's some very positive Psalms that encourage us to take on a certain outlook and attitude. Psalm 107, verse 1. And so we see, once again, as I just noted there in Psalm 9, that there's a close connection between praise and thanking your God, or giving thanks to God. And so the psalmist here reminds us to express our gratitude. Psalm 1, or 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Eternal, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Now dropping down to verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Now, if we were to read the entire chapter, you would notice that in verses 15, 21, and 31, it repeats what we just read in verse 8. It was so important that it's been added in there several times. And so the Hebrew word for give thanks there in verse 1 can also be translated as praise, which was mentioned in verse 8. And so, you know, we don't need to make sure that we understand there's a variation here, but they have both the same intent. So giving thanks is a way of praising the one who gave us life, the one who has healed us at various points in our life, the one who sustains us, the one who protects us. I wanted to give a definition for the word praise, and we can see then how closely connected it is to the word thanksgiving. Praise means honor rendered because of excellence of worth, or I should say of excellence or worth, especially the joyful tribute of gratitude rendered to the divine being. That says a lot. Let me read that again. Praise is honor rendered because of excellence or worth, especially the joyful tribute of gratitude rendered to the divine being. So once again, they're right in the definition. It's talking about rendering gratitude or expressing our thankfulness to God. Let's go to Psalm 100, a couple pages back, and verse 1. Psalm 100, verse 1. This is a short psalm, so I'll just read all five verses. And consider that, you know, a lot of these psalms or poems, or these could even be prayers, that we can imitate these and express this to God in a way that maybe our little routine isn't this way. And so it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. So is that how we come before God? With that heart and that mindset of like, I need to be grateful for all God has done for me before I come and say, oh God, can I have this and please bless me with that and do this and do. No, it's like this is the attitude we should enter. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. So once again, we see the words of bless, of praise, and giving thanks tie together beautifully. And yet at times we neglect the opportunity to show that honor to God as we come before Him. And so we have to train our minds and think about how we approach the greatest being in all the universe. You know, the word thanksgiving here in this Psalm 100 is the Hebrew word tada, which includes the meaning of adoration. So when we do that, you know, when we give that thanks, we're showing that we adore God. Another definition of the Greek word is meant a choir of worshipers. In other words, a group of people, just like we might sing praise to God, it would be this type of thanksgiving as we sing a song, and we sang songs today about giving thanks. And it's beautiful. And so our great God is encouraging all of us to show appreciation. And He's asking us to improve, to put forth the effort to do this on a daily basis. He doesn't want us to take our blessings for granted. You know, just think about, we have a roof over our head versus there are those who are homeless or those living in refugee camps. Or if you step it up a little bit, those living in slums, they might have a piece of tin over their head at night so the rain doesn't hit them, and cardboard walls or whatever they can scrounge up. But each of these stages, we have so much more. If you take a look at your home, and we should never complain about it because God has given us and it's much better than others. And so we could look at other numerous examples of those in the Bible, including Jesus Christ, how he gave thanks to his Father on a continual basis. In one instance, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he thanked God for answering his prayer. So we have our goal is to do the same as our Lord and Master. Let's look at one final point. Point number three, practice makes perfect. So when we think about that term, we've heard it throughout our lives. We know that practice is critical. You know, if you're an athlete, you're going to take the time, if you're a tennis player, whatever sport it is, but you're going to go out there and practice. Go through the motions. Think about it. Analyze it. If you're a musician, you know, let's say you learn to play the piano. Think about that daily practice and how critical that is. And yet our nation is becoming less thankful with each passing year. And we have to be careful not to fall into that same trend, right? If we become like our nation, we're going to start grumbling and griping and making excuses and complaining to a greater degree. And yet God's ears are attentive when we approach his throne. How? With gratitude. That's when he listens up. I mean, if my child came up to me and say, first of all, Dad, I want to thank you. It's like, I think it'd get my attention because I'm used to like, can we do this? Can we do that? But if we start that same approach with our Heavenly Father, it's a good way to say, God, thank you for listening. We also need to thank our mates for the work they do, the efforts they put in, or thank others that we come across, you know, with their service, their accomplishments. I mean, who knows the difference we might make in someone's life because we say, thank you for doing this or that. Thank you for praying for me, whatever it is. Let's turn to Philippians 4 and verse 6. Touch on a few chapters here that just talk about how important it is to keep working on these. In other words, practice makes perfect. Philippians 4 and verse 6. And we understand that expressing thanks is a way of building godly character because God encourages us to do this. It's good to start out our prayers with thanks and praise before asking all the other things that we would like. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So that's how we're to go about it. God gives us the steps here, and so prayer should be viewed as a privilege and an honor. Why? Because we're going before not just any king, we're going before the greatest king in all the universe, the greatest ruler. And so it's a very big blessing to come before God. And let's notice why. If we do what he says here, in verse 7 says, and the peace of God will surpass, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So if we follow through on verse 6, he's willing to bless us with that peace of mind that we can't even hardly contemplate. We go, I was so stressed out here, and now I feel calm. What's with it? But God says, follow my rules, and I have the power to bless you with that. And so God has the opportunity to bless us as we approach him anytime, anywhere, and we need to take note of that. Dropping down to verse 11, it says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And as we think about that, that's a trend in society, isn't it? That a lot of people are not contented with what they have. They want more. If our friends have it, oh, I got to get. If my friend at school, my classmate has it, oh, I got to keep up with them. You know, the latest phone, the bigger toy, whatever it is. So the more grateful we are, the less envious we are of others. And God is inviting us to be thankful and to go to him and show that recognition. Let's go to Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Now, this might be an aspect that many people don't pray about, but we need to consider our spiritual blessings that God has provided, that we enjoy every single day, because much has been offered to us on a spiritual level. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So this chapter goes on to cover, and we've talked about many of these in the Bible study recently covering Ephesians, but all these blessings that God provides, and he's willing to share these with us. So I won't go through those. But when you consider the spiritual blessings that each one of us just recognize right off the top of our head, like that we understand the plan of God. I mean, what that is truly something to be thankful for. We understand that God's armor is available to us, that his angels he provides as ministering spirits to watch over us. And we could go on and on with his forgiveness and mercy, that he wants us to receive salvation, he wants us to have eternal life. And so we need to think about those spiritual blessings. Let's drop down to verse 15, which says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So Paul's example here is to give thanks for those in the faith. Now we should do it for others as well, but Paul is mentioning this to them. And so he is actually praying for his brethren and thanking them. And how grateful are we for our brethren? And we could add in there our co-workers, our classmates, everyone that we come in contact with them. Do we express what we feel, you know, on a positive way? Now, we don't always know when someone is discouraged, when individuals are about ready to give up because life is very tough on them. And who knows that a few words of expressing kindness to them can't change their life, at least brighten up their day. Are we developing a grateful heart? So we should go to God on a daily basis and share how all that he's done for us and share that we understand that, we respect that, we honor all that he's pouring out upon us. And it's easy to overlook certain blessings. Why? Because they become so familiar to us. You know, all our lives, we've had the homes and the food and most of those items that a lot of people in the world don't really have to the degree we do. We've been very blessed. And so that can become something that we become familiar with and forget to thank God to the degree we should. Let's look at one other scripture here, Colossians 2 and verse 6. We'll conclude with this scripture here in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. And so Paul mentioned earlier that we should give thanks for everything. But here he adds another step to it. Colossians 2 verse 6. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Now, we can read right over there and right over that and not really consider, but he says to abound in our thanksgiving. That word means to increase. It means to excel. So whatever level we're at, he's saying we can do better, and we have the opportunity to grow in this at this time. And basically, it's up to us what we choose. You know, go back to that principle mentioned back in Deuteronomy 30 that we talked about at the beginning. All these choices that we have to make, and we're invited to thank God for everything. We're to do it daily, and here it says to abound in it. And so this Sabbath service gives us the opportunity to grow in expressing our thanks to our fellow brethren. Now, you have other opportunities throughout the week to thank neighbors or whoever you might come across. But even here today, I mean, if you think about, and I personally know that several ladies came by this week and worked for, you know, a couple hours to set up everything for today, getting all ready and decorating. And so do we thank someone that did that as we hear about it, as we know it? Or what about the sound crew? You know, week after week, we don't think about it, but there's individuals sitting back there turning mics on and off and doing this and that and recording and all these things. Do we thank them? I mean, this is what God is asking us to do. Even a greeter that greets us, we can say, thank you. I mean, they had to get there early. They have to put on a happy face, even if they're feeling not so well. You know, their legs hurting or their back. They do these things. We can thank someone for their prayers. And so God is wanting us to have that grateful heart. And so in conclusion, I think we'd all agree we have so very much to be thankful for. And we need to stop and reflect on that, to look deeply into our life and say, what would God want me to show or to express back to him and to others to make it like I understand that he's done all this for me? I don't want to be like the little child that's not really noticing what's happening around me, but God is opening our eyes. And so the choice is ours. We can follow the trend of society, which is to be ungrateful or unthankful. Or as Paul says here, we can abound in it. We can excel to a higher degree than we ever imagined. Brethren, God invites us to grow to be more like him. So we need to take every opportunity to express our gratitude, both to God and to mankind.